So this is the first time I've done a podcast without Lorne.
I feel like God got that one wrong when he created it.
That's the best about Italy. You're like, and the waiters come over and you can have your sandwiches delivered and your caprese salad delivered and they're bringing you Aperol spritz every 5 minutes.
We left the kids on the 73rd floor and we went down. Not everybody's idea is a good idea that way.
You're listening to the Pepper and Me podcast around the dinner table with Cherie, Cam and Lorne, where we chat all things food and business. Right, welcome back to Around the Dinner Table. We've got no Lorne today. This is the first time I've done a podcast without Lorne.
Aww.
This is good.
I'm missing him already.
Are you? I'm not.
Yeah. I'm a big fan of Lorne though. He's always been one of my heroes.
So today we are around the dinner table with Dave and Michelle from Under the Hood Barbecue. And these guys are up here to do a thing at Meatstock, a talk, correct, a demo. Are you doing a talk or a demo?
We're doing a talk and we've also got products as in a stand.
Yeah, perfect. Oh, yeah, so you're selling your sauces and spices and stuff. Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Cool. So these guys are from Nelson and when did I meet you? Maybe 5 years ago? Four and a half?
You were at our very first masterclass.
Yeah, the very first barbecue class. And I think anyone who's been following Pepper and Me for a long time will remember me coming down, correct, and then you guys coming up and barbecuing with us at our place that day. We've done a bit of stuff together. Mm. And these guys are now full-time, one, catering, two, doing barbecue masterclasses, and three, selling your rubs and sauce, barbecue sauce, which is really awesome.
Correct.
So
yeah, and some other tools and things like that.
Great to have you.
Great to be here.
Yeah. It's, I really love hanging out with you guys. You've always got great chat, great interesting insights into everything.
Love it.
I remember one day you told me something at that barbecue masterclass, I think, that I've never forgotten, and that's about food always bringing people together.
That's the one.
And I always think of that. I always think of you whenever I do anything. That's like food's always at the centre of everything, but we also love people.
That's it.
We love food and we love people and we love bringing people together.
That's that's the mantra. I think I think the barbecue is the side hustle and the people is the main deal, right?
That's exactly right. And you never realise it until you say it like that.
That's right.
Yeah. But in my recent years, I have become slightly more reclusive now, I reckon.
A little bit more introverted?
A little bit more introverted. I think I maybe just value my downtime a little bit. And I think rather than having my I've still got circle of hundreds and hundreds of people, but I really value my sort of core four or five.
Totally.
And I quite like just having that time with just them. You know, I used to be like, oh, let's have a party, let's invite everyone we know. And now I'm more like,
who do I really want?
Lock in. No one else is allowed.
Yeah. No, I totally agree. I mean, I just had lunch with a guy and he said to me, look, I've got some social anxieties. And I said, you know what? I said, I'm an extroverted guy, but there comes a point whereabouts I need to introvert back up again. Yeah. So at the end of the day, I've got to kind of recluse without people, if that makes sense.
Yeah. It's an interesting balance, isn't it, too? I've just started sort of being like that a little bit more sometimes. The more sort of people that recognize you, the more you're kind of worried about how you appear a little bit, which is not something I've ever worried about before.
No.
And then all of a sudden you're like, oh gosh, like, should I be doing this? Or, you know, people
totally
are watching. And
people, like, well, I think I drive a branded van around town, and then people go, I saw you driving a van and you looked like you had a lot on your mind. And I was like, oh, now I'm going to have to think about the way I'm driving.
I know. It's actually a terrible business idea to have branding on your car. I think it's a terrible idea for me.
It's great and it's good. But the other day I got the same thing. Somebody texted me and said, what flavour pie is that?
Oh, are you eating a pie?
And I didn't even know who the person was. They just kind of messaged me through Instagram. Oh. And it was hilarious.
Funny. Yeah, I've just got the Pepper Me number plate that Lorne got me for Christmas. And
oh, yeah.
I didn't put it on my car. And then one day I went out and he'd put it on my car. I was like, oh, cool. Thanks so much, Lorne.
100%. I had a boss who he never wanted to brand his vehicle. And then I said to him, why don't you want to brand it? He said, because my road rage is just too insatiable.
Yeah.
I don't want people to know whereabouts I work.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, funny. Mine's the opposite. I'm just a very distracted driver. Like, I've always got my mind in another place. So I'll be like, do, 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 do. Not taking notice of my surroundings.
No, totally get it.
Oh,
good times.
Okay, right. So we'll talk a little bit about you guys first. Do you want to sort of tell us about your journey from your very first masterclass to here? Because it's a really cool story that the two of you have.
Yeah, totally.
Which is great. So,
well, I think you know, I think probably we started this Instagram page, you know, I'd been on Instagram privately but didn't really have a business page. And then a friend of mine came down from Auckland and said, hey, the guys love your Instagram page. I'm like, what one's that? I've just got my private one. And he goes, no, what's that thing you say? Like, what's under the hood?
Yeah.
And so we kind of started a page that day. And then kind of from there, somebody said, would you do our housewarming party? I said, yep. But I'm thinking, nope. Like, how am I going to time this brisket in time?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, how am I going to serve these people? But I remember the shot of me slicing brisket and fingers just about disappearing under the knife because they've taken it off the board so fast. And then fast forward a little bit, a friend of ours said, oh, I've got a job for you with the Mapua Fire Department, and they only charged, they told them that we only charged $20 a head, which was quite good because up until that time we were just sort of breaking even.
Yeah, yeah.
And then we decided that we would start masterclasses.
Yeah.
And you actually came to our very first one ever.
Yeah, so cool.
Do you remember that?
I feel like it was the second one because you'd done one maybe with friends.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe it was your first ticketed one.
It was our first ticketed one.
Yeah.
And then I, like, with no disrespect to it, you know, you or anything, I didn't know who you were about until about 3 months before you kind of reached out and said hi.
Yeah.
And then a friend of mine, I think he writes recipes for you, another food blogger.
Oh, yes.
Yes, and...
Yes, he's great. He's Aussie.
Yeah, in Australia, yeah.
Gareth, I think so, yeah.
Gareth? Yeah. Anyway, so anyway, he said... Oh, we've got a phone coming in.
That's me. It's my alarm to go and pick up my children because I'd forget otherwise.
Cherie told us, phone's off, phone's off.
I know, it's on silent, but yeah.
So, yeah, he then sent me some of your products. And he sent Man Grind, Man Rub, and Whatever's Mum.
Yeah.
And we got to know who you were, and then you reached out one day and said, hey, I really love you guys. Paige, can I come to your class? And I said, hey, we'd love to give you some tickets. You said, oh, no, listen, I'm paying my way. This is good. Going to come down with a small team. You came down with Zane and
Jess. Yeah.
And Jess.
Jess runs the Pepper and Me Club.
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah.
And then you came, and then through you coming, we got an extra 500 followers pretty much overnight.
Yeah.
Like, people just, like, they're the cult followers of you guys.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the rest has been history since then. Now we're up to 15,000-16,000 followers, something like that, between our platforms. Yeah,
yeah. And then you've grown, just grown and grown to be able to leave your other jobs and do it full time. And you're booked out for catering, you were saying, for the next 2 years or something.
Yeah.
The wedding seasons. The wedding seasons are booked out. That's one thing that people tend to book in advance.
Yeah,
like
true.
18 months, sometimes 2 years in advance as they book their wedding dates. And so.
Yeah, so you've still got catering spots for outside wedding season.
Yeah.
If anyone wanted to.
We've got some.
Or,
Mostly midweek
stuff. Most of it's Saturdays. You know, everybody wants to get married on a Saturday. So, like, you know, you could get.
You could do a Sunday or a Friday or something.
On a Fridays or a Thursdays, you know.
A little midweek.
Yeah.
Cool.
When
you, because I've been enjoying your catering stories when you awesome. Show your catering.
Yep.
Do you do like quite a similar menu most times?
Yeah, we
do. Or do you change it up a bit as to what the people want?
We try and mix it up, and it's a little bit like our class, right? Like people come and we might get bored of it, but we've got to remember that people have never had this before.
Yeah.
Mm. So, you know, we do like a lot of beef cheeks, a lot of pulled pork, a lot of lamb shoulder, a lot of chicken wings.
Yeah.
So then when I'm cooking for myself, I'm like, okay, I'm not having pulled pork. I'm not having...
Not having beef cheek.
Not having beef cheeks. Yeah. You know, I'm going to do something a bit more creative.
Yeah.
Mix it up a bit.
Very cool. Cool. And how many barbecues are you running at home at the moment now?
Okay, I did the count the other day, and at home on the barbecue deck, 23.
23 barbecues.
Because we did sell two, but then we got...
Got two more.
Yeah, no, they just get quickly replaced.
I'll ask you a big question. What's your favourite barbecue?
Okay, I'll let you answer first, Michelle.
Well, it depends what you're cooking, doesn't it? Really?
Okay, I'll answer first thing because I already know in my heart.
Okay, go ahead.
My favourite is definitely the Weber Smoky Mountain.
Oh, yeah.
That's on my deck, but what you may not know is we've just bought a big barbecue smoker trailer.
Yes, I did hear that, yeah.
Which Smoke Dog made for us down in Rangiora.
Yeah.
And I've got to tell you, it is just like... it goes hard. I was going to use some inappropriate analogies, but it's fantastic.
Cool. Cool. So the smoky truck.
Yeah, it's called the Smoke Dog Smoker Trailer. We call it the Beast.
The Beast.
Which, of course, I needed to get a Wild Track to tow it as well.
Yeah.
2023 model, you know, because it has to have the best technology.
Cool. So that's for your catering. And the masterclasses?
Yep. Yeah, not for the masterclasses unless we're travelling for, say, Christchurch or something.
We do sort of interactive experiences with it where we go to, like, over Christmas time, people wanted, like, a work do that was a bit different. So we take the trailer, you know, say it's a builder's yard, and then we set it up, and then they kind of we kind of teach them how to cook the steaks and get them involved with cooking their own wings.
Smash burgers. And it's like a hot plate.
They have the experience of the cooking as well as eating the catering. So it's, yeah, it's a lot of fun.
Do you know what? I'm a big fan of those massive hot plates, eh?
Oh, they're
huge.
That's
my new favourite thing. I'm going to sell my barbecues, my other two, and I'm going to buy a David Beckham flat grill.
A David Beckham one?
Yeah, well, I don't know. You know, have you seen the Beckham?
Yes. I've seen his documentary,
and he puts one mushroom on his flat grill.
It's awesome.
But
it's awesome.
The flat grill, I was like, that is a dream come true. I love flat grills. You just smash burgers, bacon and eggs, all my favourite things. Yeah.
Hash browns.
Everything.
Are you a fan of hash browns?
I'm a big fan of hash browns. I'm a big fan of watching those Korean street food eggs, and they pour the whole bowl of scrambled egg, and then they fold it up, and then they toast their little bread in it, and then they fold it into a sando. And then they, like, there's always cheese or, like, beautiful bulgogi quick-fried meats. And
so we went to Surfers last year with family and Sunshine Coast. We went to this
It was on the Gold Coast?
And it was this place, Teppanyaki place.
Yeah.
And the guy's like, can you catch an egg in your mouth? And I'm like, yep. So he flicks it up.
Yeah.
And then comes in, mate, it went nowhere near my mouth, all over my face.
They do one in Auckland like that, and I've always meant to go because I thought the kids would maybe like it, but I've not quite made it there yet.
No.
Yeah, good. Oh, cool. Oh, well, thanks. Yeah, that's great. Such a good story. I love it. And you, like, your inspiration came from South America, didn't it?
Well, as you're from South Africa.
South Africa, sorry.
So years ago I went to South Africa. We actually got engaged in Zimbabwe.
Yeah.
And next month, our 25th wedding anniversary.
Oh, wow.
So there you go.
Gosh, that's a long time.
In fact, your mum just messaged me literally half an hour ago today to say congratulations.
Did she? Yeah. Your wedding anniversary.
Yeah, Jocelyn, mate. She's on the ball. She knows about
it. She follows all our stories.
Oh, I'll be in trouble because I forgot. Their wedding anniversary was last week. But it's quite a weird thing because I'd never think to message someone happy wedding anniversary. Like, is it like a birthday? You're supposed to
remember it. I think my parents are celebrating 60 years soon.
Wow.
That can't be right. They're not that old. Who knows? But anyway, but she missed it and said congratulations. Oh, I was impressed.
That's good. Well, well done, Mum. Very good. Very good thinking from Mum. So meat stock tomorrow. Is there only one meat stock now? Or is there an Auckland one too?
No, so one for New Zealand, and then they've got three in Australia.
Oh, three.
Then they've got Bendigo. They're kind of going to the region. So they've got Bendigo, Sydney, and Toowoomba. And then they also do one in Brazil as well.
Jay
Beaumont, who's like the director of it worldwide, he invited us to come along and be part of it, and we said, heck yes.
Oh, it's a shame when this podcast comes out, it will be done. So I won't go on about it too much, but hopefully a few people come and saw you.
Spoiler alert, we had the best time.
Yeah. It was good. It was so great. Yeah, that's the problem with these podcasts. I've just said to Lauren, I'm like, right, we need to get them out the day after the
record. But then you have to edit them, right?
Well, yeah. We send them to Adrian to edit.
Nice.
Yeah, and then get them online. But yeah, I reckon that might be the key. We've been pretty good at doing podcasts every week, though. We've been on it, so it's great to have you guys here because it provides us some fresh things to talk about.
Wonderful.
So I just wanted to talk about food in Nelson for a hot minute.
Let's talk about it.
What's your favourite restaurant?
Oh. I don't know if I've got a favourite. Depends what you feel like. I think in Nelson you go where, like, the location is quite important. So
because it's a funny old long town, isn't it?
Yeah.
Do they have great food there?
They have the best food. So we've got craft beers. We're very big on wines.
Yeah.
And then we've got some really, really good restaurants.
Yeah.
But like Michelle said, like, you really want to be somewhere near the water or in the heart of the CBD.
True.
So my favourite restaurants would be... we love Nam. It's like a Vietnamese kind of place right on the waterfront.
Mm-hmm.
We love the Smoking Barrel over in Motueka.
Oh, I've been there.
Best barbecue.
Yeah. They're cool. It's a cool place, isn't it?
Yeah, 100%. He takes he does like a chef's version of barbecue.
Yes.
Because he's like your chef of all chefs, you know.
Yeah.
And then another place we love is Harry Hawker House.
Oh, yeah. That sounds good.
Absolutely.
I've been there too. I went there. I think you told us to go there probably.
Yeah. Well, that sounds like something I would do.
Yes. Yeah, great. Because so many years ago, I've forgotten now. But I've been back to Blenheim a few times because I've been to Picton a few times.
Cool.
And they've got some great food in Blenheim.
Yes.
Like, really, really cool. Is that not really close to you, is it? There's Nelson.
2 hours drive.
2 hours over the
Nelson,
hill.
Then Picton, then Blenheim. Is that how it goes? Or
yeah, it depends which way you're going, but yeah.
Yeah, so like if you're going to exit the South Island, you go through Nelson to Blenheim, or you can bypass Blenheim and go straight through to Picton, catch the ferry across to Wellington.
Yeah, cool.
Which I would recommend.
It's so beautiful there. It's such a cool place though, isn't it? Like Golden Bay and...
Yeah. But you've been to, in the sounds right, you've been to a couple of... What we would term resorts in there?
We went to the kid-friendly one, because took the kids down there. I can't remember what it's called. And it was great. They had like all the things in
there. They little... had the bird feeding.
Yes, there's like a big walk through all the arts and sculptures and things. Yes. And they're paddleboarding and kayaking and these cute little cabins. And it was great. I loved it. And then we got an Airbnb across in the Sounds for a few nights as well, which is just an incredible house.
And did you check out Furneaux Lodge as well?
So we're right next to Furneaux Lodge. Yeah, awesome. We actually went for dinner there.
Love it.
Do you love it? Actually, no, we actually had
you know
a
what?
Terrible meal there. I was absolutely gutted.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it was
that's not
real,
a good recommendation.
Real bad. Yeah, it was that bad that I'm not afraid to say it on the podcast because I won't say it's bad if I'm like unsure. It was actually...
Not good.
It's good to know.
The worst.
Because we were weighing up going for our anniversary.
Oh, this was a couple of years ago, so maybe they've got a new chef or something. Maybe. Yeah.
Could have been the chef on the night, perhaps.
Maybe.
Because we went to a place last night and they were doing beers and I said to him, how are you doing? And he said, I've got 10 staff off with unwell and I'm literally serving everybody by myself. So, you know, he was cooking
Where was
the meals. That was the Hop House.
Oh, down at the crossing?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
No, down in town.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it is. In the Strand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, cool. Was it good?
Yeah, it was fantastic. Yeah, it was great. And then we shot off and we went to Harbourside, which was the first kind of official date that we actually had, Harbourside Restaurant.
Oh,
so it was
nice.
Good to go back to the beginning.
Back to the beginning.
I mean, I've got a few more kgs under the belt
what
between now and then.
What did you have to eat there? It's very classic. That restaurant is very...
Fish of the day and key lime pie.
Stop it.
I was happy with the key lime pie.
Classic. Yeah. Okay.
Good seafood selection. The deep fryer wasn't working, which was a little bit...
Okay, can we just talk about this for a second? Because I've got a soft spot for hot chips, or rather I've got a hot spot because of a soft spot because of hot chips.
Yeah.
One of the two. But, I mean, do you enjoy, hot chips?
Absolute yes.
Big fan?
Big fan. We're talking about, I'm a big fan. Shoestring.
Yes.
It's my top dog.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah. And then second to maybe a crinkle cut.
Oh, yep.
I think a loaded fries is
curly?
Just
a curly
spectacular.
Fry?
I think curly fries are a little bit overrated. Rated sometimes is the mouth, but they're good fun novelty.
Waffle chips.
Waffle chips are okay.
Yeah,
depends. I like them if they're loaded.
Okay.
Loaded waffle chips have got lots of room for pulled meats and cheese sauce and...
I have to say this, the best garlic fries I've ever had in New Zealand was in Christchurch at a pizzeria called...
The Base.
The Base, which is at, what's the place called? It's like a food court.
Oh, not the Riverside Market.
No, it's the other one.
We should know because our son works there.
We should know. So we ordered pizza and he bought these fries and I have not stopped dreaming about them ever since that moment.
Really? I'm actually going to Christchurch next week.
I'll check it out.
Garlic fries at an unknown location.
Just try all the spots.
Was it like garlic butter or?
No, it was actual like proper garlic. Like so much garlic.
Very garlicky.
You'd be offensive to your workmates the next day.
Okay. Yeah. Did you go in Christchurch? My favourite place in Christchurch. The thing that I still dream about is that souvlaki.
Yes.
I don't know. But the beautiful fresh breads and the pita stuff with chips.
I've just had lunch, but I would have that right now.
Yeah, I can't remember the name. Oh, Dimitri's.
There you go.
It's Dimitri's.
We're bad with restaurant names.
Christchurch staple, and I'm going to go there next week. I'm really excited.
I don't know if we've tried that. Sounds good.
Get into it.
Dimitri's. Yeah, that's at Riverside Market.
Get into it.
Yeah, that was actually my favourite thing we ate. I'm actually quite looking forward to going back to Christchurch.
Christchurch is great. They've really rebuilt the city since the earthquakes.
Yeah.
It's kind of got a little bit of the old, a little bit of the new, and it's such a good vibe. It's just incredible.
Do you know what I'm going to do down there? I'm going to a concert.
Oh, yeah. It's not like you. You don't really enjoy
concerts
so much.
I don't. But it's a seated one. Oh, and I feel like it'll be a good crowd. We're going to see the Goo Goo Dolls.
Hey, come on.
Oh, wow.
That'd be a great concert.
I know. The Goo Goo Dolls and Matchbox 20. I think Matchbox 20 is actually the headliner, but I'm a big Goo Goo Dolls fan. Massive fan.
Well, did you know that? I know that Metstock's gone by the time you've heard this, but we've got Catch a Fire. You've got Shehead who's playing. You've got Casey Barnes who's also there, and some pretty big names, eh?
Bands. Mm. Is it run by Cully's, or was it kind of started by Cully's? Or
no, it's just by Metstock. Just
Metstock's its own brand.
Yeah, and it's kind of run against the New Zealand and the Australasian Barbecue Alliances.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Yeah. Oh, that's so great.
So good.
Very cool. I wonder if we can get this edited and get it out tomorrow so we can try. I don't know. We'll see.
So yeah,
Saturday is sold out.
Probably like, oh, would you shut up?
Saturday
meat stock sold out.
I think there might be Sunday tickets still available. Yeah,
I'm going to try and come over on Sunday. I think that could be a great day out.
16,000
not far though. From Hamilton, to Hamilton from here.
Because it's not just barbecue and bands. They've got like a Viking village and like, a car show.
A bit of dad bod contest, which I'm thinking about entering.
Dad mod.
Oh, yeah.
Mustaches.
Oh, cool.
Butcher's Wars.
That's quite fun.
All sorts of stuff.
Oh, excellent. Oh, we'll go back to the Nelson Food.
Yes.
Cafe.
Yes.
Your favourite cafe.
Oh, favourite cafe. This is a good question. There's so many. I've got it.
Yeah.
Oh, I've got
sorry.
Are you okay?
You go first.
Okay, I'll go first.
No, I'll go first. No, you go. Hey, I'm going to go. Victor's, which is in Bridge Street.
Yeah.
They're like a cross between like cafe, a little bit chefy sort of food, fantastic coffee.
Mm-hmm.
And they've got this this food lane just outside as well.
Yeah.
So that's where I'm going to go, Victor's.
Okay. What's the best bite? Like the best bite of food, no category. It could be from a food truck. It could be from anywhere. Best bite of food.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, man. Okay, I'm just gonna go to the Smoking Barrel.
Yeah.
Yep. I'm just gonna land there.
Okay.
Yep.
With their barbecue, do you reckon it's better than yours?
It's different.
It's different.
It's different. So Josiah is a chef, and he's a chef at a heart.
Yeah.
I'm a self-trained.
Yeah.
The only professional training I've had is people telling me whether they like it or not.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know. So and you know, which is why we feel qualified to teach people.
Yeah.
Because it's kind of like it's passion on the plate, but he's qualified and
the
trained.
The other thing he does is amazing donuts as well.
Yeah.
They're best in the country.
Like we had an Eggs Benedict donut.
I know. I don't know how he gets it in there, but it's quite something.
The
and it's like a cheeseburger,
running.
But it's inside a donut.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
Yeah. He's always got a good donut menu if you can get in before they sell out.
Yeah, they sell out really quick, don't they? That's right. Oh, cool. I have a little list here of things that I wanted to discuss this week. I like to try and cancel something. Is there anything you thought we might like to cancel?
Yeah,
last week 100%. I cancelled glass chopping boards because it's absolutely the worst.
Good decision.
Oh, yeah.
Awful, eh?
Good decision.
Yeah.
I've never
had one.
I would like to cancel, and it's going to be controversial, I'm going to cancel beetroot.
Okay.
I feel like God got that one wrong when he created it.
Okay.
But that's just my personal opinion.
No, that's what the cancelling's all about.
Perfect.
The more of a stir you can cause, the more angry TikTok comments we get, and
that's
then
good.
The better the podcast is.
That's good. I poll people, I say, how many people like beetroot, and it's like 70-30.
Yeah,
30%
of
people hate
don't
it.
Like it.
It's like coriander. It's kind of you love it or you hate it.
Do you reckon? Because I feel like it's such a meh thing. It's not like got this bold flavour that you don't like. It's like it doesn't add, I don't think it adds much value. I'll agree with you on that.
But it can add bad value. So as a kid, right, so this is where all childhood traumas come from.
Yeah.
I had a burger in the dark driving home and the bread's a bit mushy and I turned the light on and this thing saturated in red beetroot juice.
Yeah.
And now every time I try beetroot, I feel like I want to vomit.
Really? Was that bad?
Let's cancel it.
Okay, no, you can absolutely cancel that. That's your call. What about you, Michelle?
I am not a huge fan of the things that are coming out at the moment. Like I said before, like Joe at Smoking Barrel does really good donuts.
Yeah.
But there's this thing where people are doing like sweet donuts with like a burger in the middle.
Yes, like a fried chicken burger and a donut.
I just can't reconcile that.
Do you reckon? Oh, I love it because it's a twist on chicken and waffles.
But even that I find hard.
Yeah.
No, I'm happy with the chicken and waffles.
Like a waffle with icing sugar on top of coleslaw and chicken.
Happy.
I'm just like,
give it to me.
Oh, yeah. No,
it's just too
much.
Definitely either hate it or love it. There's one on the K Road in Auckland that does, you can get, they do it in a donut, the donut burger, which is essentially brioche deep fried.
Yeah.
So it's the same thing. A donut is just a brioche, and then you can get it glazed or unglazed, so you get the sweet glaze or not.
Sure, but can you answer this for me?
Yes, but not the glaze.
So, not the glaze. Yeah.
So you had the choice of like bathing in like a chocolate sauce dessert,
yeah.
Or like not like literally, but you know figuratively speaking, yeah. Or having like a bowl of like deep fried chicken with some chips and stuff. What would you go for, the sweet or the savoury?
Oh, savoury, 1,000% every time.
I'm 1,000% with you.
Like, no, not even a
Michelle's like
thought,
sweet.
Not even a thought to the sweet.
Yeah, no. Go sweet.
I could go without yep. sweets every day for the rest of my life. But 100%. If you tried to take bread away from me, I'd absolutely you. Die. Yeah, bread, bread and cheese.
Don't ever take my bread away from yep. me.
Carb and cheese is like the basis of all my favourite foods, like pizza. It's carb and cheese.
But what
pasta,
about
carb and cheese.
What about meat? If you had to go like dairy or meat, what would you go for?
Dairy.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I
see, I'd have to go meat.
A few years ago, I would have gone meat, but I think my cooking's kind of sort of, my style of cooking has evolved a little bit and gone more in the direction of sort of more simple, but I'm loving making pastas at the moment, and I'm just using like olives awesome. And chili and parsley or...
You need to retire to Italy.
I know.
So well, this I'm is my retirement plan.
I'm going back to Italy in September, and I'm hosting a food tour.
Ah, tell us about that.
With Trafalgar.
Yep.
Yeah, so the tickets are on sale at the moment.
I did see that.
Yeah, I just posted again last night because I'm a bit not very smart. I launched it the night before Christmas.
I remember this.
And I was like, why did I even do that?
No, I said to Michelle, I need to go.
To Italy on Christmas Day. And then I've kind of left it for the last few months. I'm like, right, I need to sell this trip now.
Yeah.
So Trafalgar's taking, they sent me last year to do a bit of a recce, and then I've planned out this sort of 12-day trip, which is like my dream trip to Italy.
Wow. Are you allowed to say the price on your podcast?
It's about $8,000 for the trip.
That's
and
really
it's
good.
12 nights. It includes most of your meals. Amazing. It includes all your travel, all your entrance to we're going to like mozzarella farm, olive oil making places.
Flights included or not?
The flights are on top, and they're about $3,000.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sounds good.
But it's pricey, but that's quite standard, I think, for the tour because it includes everything. So Matt and I did the tour last year, and you don't need to take any money. You only need sort of $20 a day or something.
But let's
sandwich
face
or
it.
Whatever. Most of your stuff's included. So
nice. Let's face it, if you go to Europe and you've never been before, you don't want it to be hit and miss. You want to have a guided tour.
Yeah.
You want people to tell you exactly whereabouts to go and what to eat and what to drink.
I've tried to plan it so that there's a lot of freedom as well. So rather than being on a bus every day, all day, and you're on this tour, you can't. I've kind of said I want to be on the bus as little as possible.
Sounds good.
So we're doing like 4 days in Rome and 4 days on Amalfi Coast, but we're going to be based in Sorrento. And then we're going to do a day trip to Positano, day trip to Amalfi City, and a day trip to each place. So if you're like, I actually just want to chill today, or I want to go and do something else, you can go and do a day trip to Naples. You can do your own thing.
Isle of Capri?
Yes.
So we've been to Isle of Capri.
Yeah.
We loved it. It was fantastic.
Boat trip to Isle of Capri.
But I wasn't drinking wine back then, but now I'd be like a wine. Different experience.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I actually did my trip last year sober because I've got this big thing, like if I'm eating, I'm eating.
Yep.
And if I'm drinking, I'm drinking.
South Africans are like that.
Are they?
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah. One ruins the other often.
Yeah, so South Africans they'll drink first and then they won't start eating until they finish the drinking and then they'll have their food.
Yeah.
It's just quite often you're eating at 11, 11:30 at night. Yeah.
I think I had a couple of wines one night, but yeah, it definitely wasn't like a drinking trip. I was there to eat.
Good.
Yeah, it was great. Was this trip, I wanted just a lot of relaxing time. That was the other thing I found on the tour. It's so hectic. You're not chilling. I'm like, I want days on the beach where I'm lying on the beach. That's the best thing about Italy. You're like, and the waiters come over and you can have your sandwiches delivered and your caprese salad delivered and they're bringing you Aperol spritz every 5 minutes. And
I'm up.
More, another one. Yes, or another one. You just get treated like kings and queens on the beach there.
Sign me up, man.
Yes.
I have to check it past my boss and see if I can free up some finance.
Yeah, you should. It's a work trip. And then we're going over to Sicily to do a few different places in Sicily.
Now, Sicily's a place I haven't been, but I'd love to go.
Yeah, same.
Have you seen The White Lotus?
I actually started watching it and then couldn't concentrate. Is that filmed in Sicily?
No, the season one is filmed in Hawaii.
Yes.
And then the season two is in Sicily.
Oh, does it look amazing?
Oh, yeah, I'd go. Yep, 100%.
Yeah, so it's very coastal. It's very the one we did in 10 days we did Rome, Florence, Venice. We went all the way up, right up to Venice, back through.
It's really
Bologna.
Tiring.
It was
traveling
exhausting, like that, and there wasn't any room, wasn't much room for us to go and do our own thing. Mm. And there was, I think sometimes on those tours they like they want to include a few meals, so they did give you the meals at the hotel, and it's just they're just chucking food at you. And I'm like, I didn't come to Italy to eat there. No. I'm not eating it. I'm going out. I don't care if it's included. So I've been pretty firm on what I want for my trip. I was like, none of that.
So we were younger then. We didn't have kids, and our eldest is just about 22.
Oh, yeah?
And so what I just wanted a Big Mac one day. I just wanted, like, just a regular Big Mac.
Yeah.
And so we went and we got this Big Mac, and we went down these stairs because the restaurant was full, but downstairs was just toilet. So we got kind of like in the wrong spot, but we came back up and then we went and had proper pizza.
Oh, yeah.
And pasta and all the rest of it was so good.
Nice. Very cool. Yeah, awesome. Oh, I loved it. I'm very excited to go back. So, yeah, if you're interested in the Italy tour, get in touch. And then I've decided I'm going to go to Greece on the way over for
You've been to Greece, eh, Michelle?
I've never been to Greece, but I feel like that's my soul country.
Mm.
Like, my whole life I've wanted to go to Greece. I'm obsessed with Greece and Greek food.
So what you might not know about Michelle is she's actually English.
Oh,
and
yeah?
Grew up in a catamaran and ended up, sailing the world and ended up in New Zealand.
Really?
So she's been all around the Mediterranean and Caribbean
incredible.
And everything.
Is that how you grew up with your parents?
My parents bought a boat when I was 10 years old. My sister was 7.
And just...
We went in, they're like, we're going to do a one-year mission sail from the UK to the Greek islands.
Yeah.
And that, like, extended into another year. And then we ended up going to the Caribbean and then America, and just kept on going longer
and
longer.
What an incredible life.
They'd stop and work for 6 months and save up, and then we'd just keep sailing and travelling. So we got to New Zealand.
That's incredible.
5 years later.
And then they just stopped it.
Yeah, they're like, and then they were like, oh, you should probably go finish school.
Didn't go to school that whole time?
We were homeschooled.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow, what an amazing
learning
life.
Experience.
Yeah.
There's a whole other podcast within itself right there.
Oh, God, I bet. Yeah, you could just tell stories for days. I wish I could do something like that. Oh, I can't even tie a knot. Like, I'd be no good.
Neither. I don't think I'd be good.
Quite daring, eh? Like, I think about what my parents did. I'm like, oh, yeah, a little bit crazy.
I
you have
to
be a little bit crazy
to do
it.
Do that. But, I mean, wow.
Super thankful.
Yeah, I bet.
Doing it. Because, yeah.
What was your favourite place that you remember?
Loved the Caribbean, loved all the, like, it's just a short sail to each island and each island's different.
Yeah.
I'm nodding like I know what she's talking about, but I'm just living vicariously.
I used to work on super yachts, but I never did a Caribbean season.
Oh, right.
Because we spent a lot of time in Australia and New Zealand. We actually went right around New Zealand, and then we went to the Netherlands and did most of Europe. Up to the top of Norway and and Sweden. We went to Russia and...
This is like an inside scoop right here. I didn't know that.
Did you not? Yeah, no.
I used to be on the super yachts, but I didn't know where you'd been.
Yeah, and then we did a few.
Did you do Mediterranean?
Yeah, we did the whole Med, and then we.
So you've been to Greece before?
Sorry, we didn't go to Greece.
Ah,
no, I've never been to Greece. We were in Spain for a long time, and then in Parma for a long time. We ended up in Sweden. We got struck by lightning in the mast and fried our electronics. So we were in Sweden for a long time as well, because we kind of got stuck there.
Wow.
Yeah, but we Russia. Went to Russia and. Yeah, amazing.
Amazing way to see the world.
It was very amazing way to see the world. But it is your whole life, and I was a bit like, we had liveaboard owners, so you certainly like...
Awesome.
You're living and working together.
We worked pretty hard.
Yeah.
And, I was ready to come home after a few years. That was...
Yeah.
I'll bet.
Just like a novelty to come home and be in a car.
Sure.
Like, own a car or a piece of furniture. Yeah. But, yeah, it was very cool. Very cool way to see the world and learn about... people and food at the same time.
Yeah,
I guess,
yeah.
All
great.
Ties and makes you quite bold. I feel like that's why I have confidence, I think, in situations, because I'd often go out by myself.
Right.
And you wouldn't know two words of the language and you had to go out and make some friends or figure out how to do the shopping or like...
Lots of gesturing, trying to explain what you meant.
Heaps. Yeah.
So were you like that, like as a kid, were you naturally extroverted or were you a bit more shy?
I don't think I've ever been shy.
Right.
No.
I used to be petrified of speaking on stage as a teenager. I was like, I could never do that. And now that's kind of like what we do a lot, you know, you're always in front of a camera or on a stage or whatever, you know. But it's kind of a learned behaviour, I guess.
Yeah, I have never been great at public speaking.
Okay.
Which is, I actually get asked to do quite a bit of it now, and I'm actually still not great at it. I get a bit silly. Like,
okay.
Yeah, say things I shouldn't say.
Yeah,
I don't know why I say it,
I'm not even.
So I stopped drinking. I'm like, right, stop drinking, and I still do it. I still say things, and I'm like, oh
Oh, is it just that like the awkward silence with a story that's like, hold on?
I don't know. I think I'm just naturally a joker and I like to be funny. I think like I'm always laughing or making light of things.
So
and then when you just maybe don't think your joke through fully when the pressure's on.
Oh, yeah.
It's actually one thing I wish I was better at, public speaking. So people assume, they're like, oh, you speak to your camera, 10,000 people watch you every day. And I'm like, yeah, but I'm in the room by myself. It's so different.
Right, yeah.
It's one of the top three fears, I think, in the world, I think, is
public speaking, spiders,
and getting married. No, I don't know. I don't know if the third one's true.
Oh, do you know what my biggest fear is? Cockroach.
Okay. No, I'm not scared of them. I just hate them.
Oh, I am so scared of cockroaches. It's actually unbelievable.
Really?
Yeah, I reckon I've got an actual fear of cockroaches.
Do you have a bad experience with one?
No, I don't know. I remember I was driving in Auckland once and one came out of my car. I was on the motorway. One was on my car windscreen. I swerved across three lanes and dove out of my car into the ditch. Yeah, I was out.
Was it on the inside or the outside?
On the inside. Oh, yeah. Horrific.
I probably would have just reached up, grabbed it and chucked it out the window.
Oh, I can't even like talk about it.
Well, like Fear Factor.
And I like...
Fear Factor, they had those ones, you know, with Joe Rogan, and they would either eat the cockroaches or be bathed in a bath with them.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
Oh, yeah. I'd actually rather die. I would literally be like, I'll say, die. Yeah.
I don't think it would be fun, but, you know, I'd do that over some stuff.
Yeah, that's my only fear, I think. I don't really have any other, like...
Fear of heights? You go skydiving?
I'm fine with heights. I don't like the falling.
Okay, so skydiving not so much.
So skydiving I wouldn't do by choice.
Bungee jumping?
Nah.
Okay.
But it's not really like I'm scared of it.
I've done six skydives and one bungee jump. You love it. So two bungee jumps.
You love the adrenaline.
But no, the bungee jumps I wouldn't do again. It's far more scary than a skydive.
Really?
You feel the weight of the rope as you stand on the platform.
Yeah.
And you are, like, the ground's just there, right? It's a little bit more removed when you're in the sky.
I feel like I've heard people say that before.
Yeah, it's so true.
What about you, Michelle?
I've done neither.
Neither.
And I like, kind of just don't have a huge desire to go do it.
Yeah. I say that I'm not scared of it, but, like, honestly, I would never do it. But absolutely would never, never, never do it.
But the older I've got, the less I actually like flying, the less I like heights. We went to the elevation suites in Brisbane when we were there last, and we got to the 73rd floor. I think the top floor was 74, and I got up the top, and I couldn't stay there. I had to go down the bottom, right? And I said to the guy, hey, listen, can I have a lower floor? And he said to me, hey, mate, the clue is in the phrase, the elevation suites, you know?
Yeah, right.
You booked this, mate.
So he said, look, we found you another floor. So he took me to the 28th floor. Mm. And I said to him, listen, do you have anything lower? So eventually we ended up on, like, the 12th floor, and I was happy with that. Yeah.
Wow.
We left the kids on the 73rd floor, and we went down.
Interesting. Yeah, I don't know. A little bit more nervy, but... You kind of have to appear quite calm when you have kids, don't you? You've got to really, like, monitor your reactions. But not cockroach, can't do it.
Nope.
My kids have now got the same fear of them because of the way I react.
Of your reaction.
I just can't not, like, there was one on my wall the other day. Oh, don't even want to go back in the house. Whole can of fly spray on it.
You just have to go to Africa for a little while to get over that stuff because, you know, the spiders and the snakes, you just have to make peace with it.
I know. Yeah, I'm all right with spiders and snakes, but... Okay. Cockroach?
Cool.
Not for me.
Sweet deal.
Right. Hot cross buns is on my discussion point today.
Okay, good.
Because people have been really upsetting me with hot cross buns.
Good.
I think, and this is obviously my opinion, maybe controversial, I think a hot cross bun should be left alone as it is.
Well, just leave it?
It's traditional.
Don't put stuff inside it. Don't make chocolate ones. Don't make Biscoff ones. Don't make loaves.
Brioche ones?
Don't make pull apart. No, don't make brioche, but no. None.
Okay.
Too much.
Traditional only.
My only beef with hot cross buns is that they start making them now just straight after Christmas.
Yeah, I don't see it. Why have you got a problem with it? It's amazing.
No, it's too soon.
No, it's not. It's lovely.
It's far too soon. I'm like... like for me, Christmas, right? I can't hear a Christmas carol before the 1st of December. Don't put up a Christmas tree before the 1st of December. I'm sorry if you hate me right now, but that's my deal.
So when is acceptable to have the hot cross buns?
Oh, like, you know, the week before Easter. But I will take any type of hot cross bun, put a cream egg in that thing, bake it up,
God, you got cream.
Smother it with butter, I'm good. Chocolate no, version.
I buy Lurpak butter to go on the hot cross bun.
Okay.
And I think that's the only butter you should put on it. And I feel like if the butter melts in.
Yeah, it toasted, eh?
It toasted. It has to be toasted. Top of, and the bottoms are better than the tops. And
I don't know about
yes,
that.
Yes, no, I get that.
And yeah. If the butter melts all into it straight away, you have to put more butter on because you need to be able to see the butter. But you're putting on.
Can we be honest? Like raisins, right, or sultanas are quite controversial. Like cucumber or beetroot or coriander, it kind of tends to polarise people.
Yeah. I think that's fair, but I think they're great.
Okay.
I really like a soaked sultana or raisin because they plump right up and they almost go back. It's like it's a grape again.
Yeah.
But it's
yeah.
not. It's got like the flavour of raisin or sultana and it's back and it's
I'm a big fan of grapes, eh?
Yeah, I think they're underrated. Grapes probably underrated.
Yep. Yeah. Back when I had a personal trainer, which has been a few years now, but he said to me I couldn't have grapes because there was like they said it's like a bag of sugar in your mouth. And I said, well, that's great. I'm up for that.
Really?
And he's like, no, your body doesn't want it.
Oh, yes, God. It oh, okay, interesting.
But I'm also a big fan of wine, as you know.
Yeah.
When I've stayed with you, you often find me in your pantry yeah. cellar part of the thing.
Yeah.
You're like, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm finding the best wines.
Yeah, I've still got – oh, you'd like my wine cupboard at the moment because I've still got my subscription, but I don't drink it as much. So this is a lovely full cupboard of cellared wine there, aging. I only drink red wine, though.
Okay.
I'm off the white. Well, I've been trying. I've been dabbling in a rosé lately.
I was going to say, rosé's good.
What's your favourite ice block? Because we're coming to the end of summer. We've not really talked about ice blocks or ice creams or anything frozen, a frozen treat on a steak.
Oh, yes. In Nelson, there's a business called Good Pops. I don't know if you've tried them, but they're really good.
Are they the ones you see the freezers all around? Not Dr. Feelgood.
No, they're called Good Pops, and they do a plant-based one as well, so sort of with coconut milk, and they do that's like a mango, pineapple, something. I had one of those recently.
You like it?
Really good.
Yeah. This year, they've brought out these fruit sticks. Fruit sticks.
I've seen the fruit sticks.
So it's the shape of a fruit, three fruits, and it's like the tropical snow texture.
Yes.
So it's like a whipped ice block sorbet situation.
Mm.
56 calories.
Okay, that's not bad. That's good.
Best, not even that I care about calories, clearly, but it's the best treat.
Come on.
Oh, there's a box in the freezer. I'll give you one. Oh my God, honestly, that's so good.
I'm not a fan of ice cream as much. So it's definitely not ice blocks. I think for me, I can't beat a good trumpet.
Yeah, trumpet.
Or a good Bubble O' Bills.
Bubble O' Bill is very good, eh?
Go to Australia, a good
Gay time.
Yeah, good gay time.
Yes.
Love a good gay time.
Yes. Yeah. Golden gay time.
Golden gay times.
Yeah.
But
there's a reason Bubble O' Bills have been around for the last 40 years, eh?
So good.
They're so good.
So good. But my favourite would be, it's not really an ice cream, but it's called a Viennetta log.
Oh, we talked about it the other day. Oh,
it's a frozen dessert.
Sign me up for that for life.
Did you, we're talking about it as in, that's like the ultimate treat if you're a kid and your mum.
Yeah, it was luxurious.
The Vienna, it's so luxurious.
Our son's girlfriend, Alicia, the other day, we got it out and we got this Viennetta log and she's like, what's this? It's like a cross between like chocolate and Mr. Whippy and like ice cream. I'm not really sure it's dairy.
And a lace curtain.
I don't even think it's dairy. I don't even think it's dairy. It's like got like trace amounts of like cocaine in it somewhere.
It calls itself a frozen dessert.
A frozen dessert.
She'd never had it. Slice. You know, we're like, you've got to buy it.
I won't tell anyone if I win the lotto, but there'll be signs.
Viennetta logs in the freezer.
Handing them all out.
She'd never seen it. The other thing she'd never seen is we watched some program and it finished just on TV. And all of my kids included, we just clapped at the end of it. She's like, why are you all applauding? I'm like, it's a great show. It deserves the applause.
Do you?
Yeah, definitely.
Do you?
Yeah,
is that normal?
Somebody could Feed Phil.
Somebody Feed Phil.
Have you seen that?
Have you seen Somebody Feed Phil?
Oh, I've watched. That's been on quite a while, the series, isn't it?
Yeah. So he is the director of Everybody Loves Raymond.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Eccentric Jewish New York man.
Yeah.
Traveling around the world eating food, making special faces.
Right.
It's really good.
Okay, I'll have to watch it again.
Yeah.
My favourite food show is Stanley Tucci's Italy.
I haven't seen it.
He's just a divine man. Okay. He's a divine man. Yeah, I have a crush on him.
I was going to say, what kind of divine?
Yeah, well, he's very short, and that's usually like an absolute ick for me. But yeah, no, he's just You have to watch it.
Okay.
He's just yeah, Stanley absolutely divine. T-U-C-C-I.
Okay.
Yeah, he was he's an actor. He's been in loads of movies. I wouldn't be able to tell you any. Yeah. I'm sure he plays a villain in some things. I'm not much of a movie person, to be fair. So
I'm not much of a food show person.
Yeah, okay.
But Somebody Feed Phil, mate, loved it. I'll clap at the end of every episode. Wow.
So in your family, do you normally clap for a good thing?
Yeah, we're pretty enthusiastic sort of family, eh?
Hey, have you guys watched Saltburn?
My son has, and he said to me, Dad, you won't like this movie.
It's a program.
It's a movie.
It's a movie.
Yeah, I've been hearing all about it and enough that I'd been like, I need to go and watch this.
What did you think?
I actually thought it was great.
Okay.
It's a little bit...
there's one scene in the middle that you wanted to look away.
There's a couple of disturbing scenes, but if you take those disturbing scenes out, it's quite a good movie because you don't really know where it's going and then you're like, oh, this is quite psychological and then when it sort of comes together, you're like... That was quite clever. And then the ending scene is just spectacular.
Is it great? Okay, good.
It's great.
Okay, you've got me now.
But, yeah.
We're a movie family.
I kind of had to think back. I was like, did I enjoy that? I was like, I must have because, I've watched the whole thing, which doesn't happen very often.
Yeah, sure.
It was memorable. It was weird. It was different. It was, like, you often didn't know if you're like, is this taking, like, what's his angle? What's happening here? Is he taking the piss? Is this whole thing a joke? Is this like...
Okay, I've got to check it out because we are a movie family, right? So we watch a lot of movies.
Yeah.
Over the summer, we got a 6,000-piece Lego set. We built Rivendell.
Oh, my God.
And then the kids were like, can we watch the extended editions of The Lord of the Rings for like the sixth time? So we watched them one a night.
Yeah, that's so cool.
And,
I love that for you.
We raised our kids kind of, this is, people might hate this, but at dinner time, we didn't sit around a dinner table.
Yeah.
We watched TV or movies together.
Okay.
We watched the whole Lost series and the kids just love it. That's great.
Oh, wow.
Good family bonding time.
That is nice. We're actually screen-free in my house.
Okay. But you now you've got a pool, though, so that's...
I've got a pool.
That's a good trade-off.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. Like, I don't want to be, but we have... So we do have a TV, but where it's only allowed on for a Sunday movie night.
Okay.
Because well, that's a
nice tradition. My children lose the plot.
But your parents have got TVs, because I've been to their place, and they've got multiple, you know.
Yeah, yeah. They're not the problem. It's my kids that can't handle the TV. They just, something happens to them. It's like it takes over their brain and then they turn into little psychos.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
I thought they'd grow out of it, but we really struggle with Kit. Struggle.
Really?
He would, if I left the TV on, he would sit there for, I reckon, 3 days straight without leaving it.
That's good parenting.
Well, I keep it up my sleeve, you see.
Good.
Nice special moments. Save it by when you really need it.
Completely exhausted. I let them have it on Sunday. I let them have it in the morning. I was like, oh, well, so then I can have sleep in.
Well, for us, it's been good because, like, our son Nathan, he is into drama, mm-hmm. got a couple of scholarships, and he's just shifted to Wellington to work for a company called Marzipan, teaching drama in schools. You know, like, you could learn drums or guitar. Well, he kind of teaches drama, and he's looking at studying at Toi Whakaari, which is where Taika Waititi studied.
Oh, yeah? Wow, amazing.
So, you know, he could be the next Thor. And I've said to him, remember your parents when you become a multimillionaire, mate.
Oh, stunning.
You know?
That's cool. That's amazing. That's so cool. Like, because you've got four teenagers, but they're all off on their own paths now.
Well, actually, two of them are in their 20s now.
Oh, wow.
And last night, we ordered this food.
Yeah.
And the waitress said... we told her it was our 25th wedding anniversary coming up and we had four kids. Mm-hmm. She said, excuse me, but you don't look a day over 40. I said, look, you've been very kind.
It's true, though. Both of you look very young.
Well, thank you very much. It could be the hair.
The
hair's getting a little longer than it has been for a little while.
But you've got very lush, long head of hair.
Not too much greys.
No, hardly any.
A few greys.
None in the hair, really.
Well, there we go. That's good.
Yeah.
A few in the beard.
In the beard, yeah. Maybe the beard's the mostly beard. Salt and pepper. But...
Okay. Well, there we go. We're happy with salt and pepper.
Yeah.
Maybe a bit of garlic, eh?
Maybe SPG seasoning.
Yeah, get a
SPG in the beard.
But under the hood GPS seasoning.
Yeah,
come to underthehood.com.
Just slot in a little ad there.
That's it.
So these guys do make seasonings as well. You guys do great seasonings. Not that I've tried all of them, but they look great. Oh, and I love your barbecue sauce. It's really nice. It's quite a different barbecue sauce from all the others. Beautiful with pork.
It's Michelle's recipe, actually. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It's like a tangy sort of.
It's quite a tangy. Yeah.
I just contributed to the taste testing on that.
Yeah, and then they have beef, lamb, chicken.
Yep.
Pork and the garlic, salt, pepper.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Seasonings, which is very cool. Where do you guys stock? Mainly online. You like to sell online, eh?
Yeah,
website, and then different places around the country.
Yeah.
About 40 different places around the country. And
have you got a stockist map online?
We have got a stockist map online.
Yeah. It's always good to find the nearest ones.
Yeah, find your closest one. Whenever somebody orders it, say here, we say go to Palmer's in Bethlehem. That's where you'll get it here locally.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
I actually should try them.
Yeah.
You do so many good ones here.
It's not even about mine being
good. It's the fact is I struggle to use all my own.
Oh, yeah.
Because I've got so many.
Yeah,
you can only cook so many times a day. And I'm like, oh, I've not used jerk for a year and a half, the seasoning. Wow. And I was like, I actually really love it, but it's just not my top flavour profile. But it still sells. It still sells enough.
Give the people what they come for.
So I don't even have to touch it. I was like, I really should reinvigorate myself with that seasoning. But every time we do a new one, I get all excited and I get all fixated on it. And I'm just using black gold on everything and everything.
We just got some yesterday. It's going to be awesome.
It's so nice.
Yeah.
It's so nice.
Well, I'm a big fan of vinegar, and I'm also a big fan of like black garlic. And I love things like truffle and all that sort of stuff. Hey.
Oh, it's just an absolute delight, that seasoning. And then we've just been working on like five more today. So I was working on sauces yesterday, seasonings today.
Perfect.
And then, there's some bangers in there too. I'm like, oh, this is going to be so fun. Yeah.
What's your process with that? Because I know for us, like, we never thought we were going to like make seasonings or sauce.
Yeah.
But when we do our catering and our classes, people are like, where did you get the seasoning from? We're like, well, it's our own kind of concoction. So eventually we just kind of commercialize it and put it on shelves.
Mm.
But for you, you naturally, intrinsically come up with these flavors, right?
Yeah, totally. But I think watch what's trending in America.
Okay.
And then you often get ideas from that. Because we'll often see something like that. Everything bagel seasoning was massive in America, and there was just no one had touched it here. No one was doing it. And not only that, but you couldn't buy it. You couldn't do anything. So, that's like a no-brainer. It's like, well, that's a great ingredient. What a great seasoning. I'll make my own version of it. We add salt flakes and other bits and pieces to it and peppermeify it. Same with, it was kind of similar with the ranch. When I kept seeing this dry ranch powder that people were adding in America, and I was like, I've never seen nor heard of that.
Gotta do it.
And we just started playing around with the base, and you're kind of like, what are the flavors in ranch? What do you want to come through? Do we want to make it as a dry seasoning or a dip mix and manage to combine it into both? And then, some of the ideas that I have also are just like random.
Yeah.
Completely random. Yeah.
But you seem to know how to make them. Like, we spent like years kind of perfecting these sort of flavors, and they've barely been launched before people are like, you should do this and you should do that. You should do the next thing. And we're like, man, like, our whole business model has come out of demand.
Yeah.
So we only really respond to what people want. So,
well, that's very much, I would say because we have these Instagram platforms and you have that immediate, instant personal connection. So you can take on the feedback. And
100%.
So yeah, people often have ideas.
Not everybody's idea is a good idea, though, eh?
No, it's not. But then also someone might plant a seed of an idea and you might just tuck it away, and then a few years later...
bring it out.
It might be time.
Yeah.
For something like that. I don't know. Honestly, everything's different. It's always... lots of products we will make for a specific occasion or thing. Yeah. So like Matariki coming up. We did the Salt of Aotearoa last year with... the kawakawa and horopito and we use Marlborough sea salt flakes and
love it.
Hawke's Bay lemon.
Very
so
kiwi.
It's like a kiwi version of mangrind. But it's
kiwi.
Not really like taken off as it should, because everyone just knows and loves mangrind. It's essentially the same flavour profile though. Literally the same flavour profile.
But that is the case, right? I mean, you create something, you think, this is incredible, and then people are like, I could take it or leave it. And then other times you do something which is average and people are like, oh, that's amazing, you should do that.
Yeah.
Which is why we keep on doing like beef cheeks, for instance, over brisket.
Yeah, well, yeah, you definitely just have to do what people want, hey?
Totally.
What's your favourite barbecue meat to eat?
Oh, for me, 100% pork belly. What about
pork
you,
pork belly, eh? That's what I was just thinking. Like crispy pork belly?
Yep, crispy pork belly, done hot and fast.
Yeah.
I'll take it up to about 85 and 90 degrees Celsius. I mean, as you know, safe is 74 degrees. It's good to eat, particularly chicken.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll take it up to about 85 and 90, which just means it's a little bit just before pulled.
Yeah.
But the crackling's got like salty, crispy, crunchy. Go see your dentist the next day because you might break your teeth, you know.
Yeah. Mm. I've nailed my pork belly. I do in the oven, but... yeah, that's the rolled pork belly. I've is my favourite meat to eat, I reckon.
We're not happy with the use of the oven, but hey, to each their own.
Oh, I know. I should do it in my pizza oven because I'd probably absolutely slay it in there.
1,000%.
Yeah.
What about you, baby? What's your favourite meat?
Oh, I would have said lamb, but I think lately we've had some really good tomahawk steaks.
Oh, yes.
Seared.
Yeah.
So you kind of get in them all slow in the barbecue first, get the smoke into
good
them.
Good chimichurri's good, eh?
Rest them and then sear them over the flames. It's just, and then chimichurri.
Have you ever thought about making a chimichurri?
Yes, we've played with a dry mix for a chimichurri because...
just add olive oil?
Just add olive oil. I couldn't get it right. It needs fresh herbs.
Okay.
Yeah. Play with a few mixes like that. Same with like a guac mix. And I'm like, you just can't beat having fresh tomato, fresh onion, fresh coriander.
Fresh parsley.
Yeah. It just kind of needs it. So we did play with the chimichurri dry mix and then the chimichurri wet mix. I've got PTSD from this chimichurri that... I worked with, literally 6 years ago when I first started, and I with this company, and they were making chimichurri, and we did a Christmas pack with the chimichurri, and we bought, 300 or something, made these Christmas packs, sent them out, everyone had wrapped up on their Christmas tree, and the chimichurri fermented and started exploding, so we had 300 gift boxes exploding under people's Christmas trees on Christmas Day, and I remember exactly when I got the first email, and I was sitting there, and I was like...
Was it Christmas Day?
No, it was just before, but I knew what was going to happen. I was like, one of them's gone.
They're all going.
And what had happened, they'd been in the truck to bring them up to me, and they would have sat hot.
Oh, no.
And, yeah. Baked. And the people who made the sauce obviously didn't know that was going to
happen. It was bad.
And so not
who
only was...
Who knew that putting stuff in the sun for a long period of time would be bad for it?
Wow.
Hey.
I guess when you're working with small businesses making sauces, you don't know what...
Was it a sauce or a chimichurri?
It was a chimichurri. But it was more of a dressing, but had vinegar oil, blah, 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 but they obviously hadn't tested it or added preservative to it or the amount of the pH wasn't obviously not quite stable. Anyway, I remember cleaning it up my own stash of chimichurri, and I was pregnant with Kit because I got horrifically sick, and that's why
you
I can't deal with chimichurri.
This is hilarious though, because tell me that you're a foodie without telling me you're a foodie. I've got PTSD from making chimichurri. Would be a sure sign that you're a foodie. You know, things that most people don't need to be concerned about.
Oh, I know. All of my core memories have a food related to them. I've always been obsessed with food, like everything, and
I grew up in a non-foodie house.
Did you?
Yeah, totally. I mean, like, my mum, God bless her, she made really great food, very simplistic. But we didn't have a lot of money, so the steak was kind of a little bit chewy. Maybe it was seconds or whatever. So I didn't even like steak until I started to barbecue, and then I'm like, actually, this is phenomenal.
Yeah, I'd admit that I didn't like steak either growing up because we'd have it well done, and it would be a...
And was that Paul or Jocelyn?
I think it would have been many, many a year before we were moving to a medium rare steak. Yep. Many, many a year.
Sure. I think there was an era of Kiwis that grew up, like probably your parents' age, where it was kind of just very simple menus of meat until it's cooked.
Bag bowl, sausages, broccoli, peas.
Yeah, broccoli and carrots on the side. And
we
potatoes.
Used to have burritos one night a week, and that was my favourite. Mince burrito.
Oh, come on.
Favourite dish.
So good.
But there was meatloaf and mash, and Dad used to do a casserole in the slow cooker on a Sunday sometimes.
Well, I started cooking. Oh, so you tell that story.
You don't like casseroles.
No,
like,
not so much.
Don't you?
No. Well, I started cooking when I was a kid because my parents would be like, we had like 5 siblings, not much money. So my parents were like, if you want to eat something, you've got to like make toast or you've got to. And so, but she had this big pot of lard and I could like make chips. That's probably why I love chips. If I make my own chips, I make my own potato chips, peeling potatoes into deep fried.
Into the lard. Wow.
And then baking pavlovas, sponge cakes, the Edmunds cookbook.
Come on,
it's a staple in every household.
You can't tell me it's not a foodie household then. That's quite cool.
I probably created it.
You were forced into it?
Yeah, I mean, back then I was like, eat or be eaten, and now I'm just like, I need to slow down.
My kids, I do look at my kids, I'm like, oh, you're so spoiled.
Yeah.
It's actually, annoys me how spoilt they are.
Yeah.
But yeah. But Pippa loves food. Pippa is a foodie. She loves food. So interested in food, loves food. Kit,
love it.
I think Kit wants to love food, but he just doesn't. He just doesn't like the taste of most foods or the texture or the thought.
What's his passion then?
Kit?
Yeah.
He's a little entertainer at the moment. I don't know. He's really surprised me since he started school a few months ago. And he's, I really thought, like, Pepper's very smart, very clever girl, very, but Kit's come in. He's very smart, but I think he, like, he just uses it in a different way.
The star of the show?
Yeah. Cool. He did a little Instagram video on my Instagram the other day.
I saw it.
And I didn't encourage it. He just took, he's like, can I make a video? I was like, yeah. And I was just listening to the things that he was saying. I was like, he's listened to every word I've ever said.
He was very articulate.
Very articulate. Yeah. And he didn't miss a beat.
No ums, no ahs.
Nothing. Just, and he was so confident, and people didn't want to be anywhere near it. She was like, don't film me. Don't come near. I'm not talking. Like, yeah. I think people think that Kit's my favourite, but she just doesn't want to be on the camera.
Fair call, too.
So, and he loves it. He, like, absolutely thrives off it. And some of the words, so just good. The way he says his words, I'm like, where do you learn to speak like that? Like, where do you get this skill?
Well, that was our kid, Nathan, you know, because he, as I said, he's the guy that's going to, he's teaching drama. Just about spilling water here. And he kind of grew up with, like, Disney a little bit. So some of his words are kind of drawn out with an American accent a little bit. Like, I want to go to the park when he was younger, you know. It's like, man, this kid's, he can do any accent. He's hilarious.
He can also memorize things, like hear a song once and
know the lyrics. So I would say this, that the traits that your kids have got now, so four kids, three of them are left home, one of them wants to leave home but not yet, and the traits they have now will follow them through the rest of their life.
Yeah, I think Pippa's quite discipline, routine-based, sensible, tidy. Yep. She looks after her things.
So good.
She's a really, really good girl. Yeah.
Watch that. That'll be her strength, yeah.
Kit, just, oh, I just don't know.
You got a channel.
He's a firecracker. Yeah, and I really never, like, he's just, his learning is incredible. And I love watching him because he's not afraid to try. So he sits, oh, I'm actually writing a book. I was like, okay, five. like, watch what he's writing. And he does, he just sounds out the words. And he's not scared that he's going to be wrong. So he just puts them on the paper. And because it's my favourite game to try and figure out what he's written.
Awesome.
I love it. Awesome. Yeah, but he loves it. He loves writing. He's got his little secret notebook. He writes in his diary at the night time. And
so good.
Yeah, he's a very loving, caring boy. But yeah, not a foodie. The foodie, unfortunately. No.
That's right, to each their own, eh?
Yeah, Mum said that me and Lorne were the same. Lorne was always Weet-Bix.
Oh, really?
Weet-Bix 2-minute noodles. And I was always all over it. Yeah.
Love it.
All right, guys, we'll wind it up because I know you guys have to head off. Thank you so much for coming on. That's great chat. Hopefully everyone's enjoyed it.
At the end of the show, you know.
Make sure you're following Under the Hood Barbecue on Instagram. Check out their website. Yep. Keep an eye out for your products.
Yep, look on YouTube.
If you're in the Marlborough district.
Nelson
Tasman is the region. And if you want to buy their online course, it is also available to anybody worldwide.
Oh, perfect. So that's like an online barbecuing course.
That's it. Yep.
Epic. Yep. It's so cool. I know that Lorne bought it. Well, Mum and Dad bought it. Lorne used it and nailed his first brisket on the weekend.
Perfect.
Oh, man. Yeah, Lorne, so thanks to you guys. Lorne's not here, but he is my hero. Yeah. Cherie, we love you too.
Oh, thank you. All right, thanks, guys. Have a great time at Meatstock.
Awesome. Thanks so much. Bye. See ya.
Thanks for listening to the Pepper and Me podcast, guys. Make sure you like and subscribe. And if you're interested in any of the products that we're talking about, you'll find us at pepperandme.co.nz.